close. As we've said this semester, our focus has been to know the gospel and to live the gospel. And so we spent the first part of our semester really digging in and rooting into the content of the gospel itself. In short form, Jesus is Lord and Christ, or you could say Jesus is King. And the rest of the semester we're going to focus on, or at least most of the rest of the semester, we're going to focus on what our response to that message should be, the summons of the gospel. In short, give him your allegiance. And so we join Paul in proclaiming to live as Christ and to die as gain. And so I want us to especially have that line, to live as Christ, before us as we go through the subjects this semester, or the rest of the semester, the next few weeks. As we mentioned a few weeks ago, life in Christ, living Christ, allegiance to Christ is not this compartmentalized life divided into sacred and secular, but a whole life devoted to Jesus the King. And you might think about the charts that I showed there, where we struggle with that sometimes and tend to just think of serving Christ as some form of church or spiritual activity, and growing in Christ is just expanding that. But no, to live is Christ, and Christ gets the whole circle. Allegiance to Christ certainly involves our learning, devotion to learning and reading and prayer and praise and all other forms of worship. But Christ reigns over and through us in our ordinary, mundane, secular lives too. To live is Christ actually means to live is Christ. To love God with our all actually means to love God with our all. It's one thing to accept this truth in principle, right? We can put the chart on the screen and see that and like, yeah. But what does it look like in practice, in the flesh, on the ground, in the just daily, everyday life? Want to at least start off our focus this way by looking at four major realms of life: family, work, church, world. When the PowerPoint's back up, I'll have a chart for that too. But again, I think we can picture that. Family, work, church, and world. What does it look like to live Christ in our families, as husbands and wives, as parents and grandparents, as children and grandchildren? What does it look like to live Christ in our work? What does it look like to live Christ in our world, in our neighborhood, in our community, before our government? What does it look like to live Christ in the church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a part of a local church? Again, we want to explore these various realms over the next few weeks. But today I want to begin by thinking about living Christ in our family. From the beginning, the family has been and continues to be central to God's purpose for us and through us. We see this in the garden, we see this in Israel, and we see this in the church. Now Christ rules over and through us in our families. As husbands and wives, as parents and grandparents, as children and grandchildren, our lives are to declare Jesus is King. So what does our King expect? First thing I want us to consider this morning is our King expects us to honor our parents and grandparents. If you would open up to Exodus 20. Honor your parents and grandparents. In Exodus 20, we see the 10 words, or more famously, the 10 commandments. And these were the constitutional core of Israel's covenant with God. And these 10 words, above all, were to guide Israel in their calling as a royal priesthood among the nations, to guide them in right worship and in justice, to guide them in love for God and love for others. The first three commandments pertain directly to Israel's life before God. The fourth commandment, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, also pertains directly to Israel's life before God, but it steps back to see society as a whole and speaks to a benefit and a blessing for the whole society. A day of rest was a blessing and a right for all, from the greatest to the least of Israel's whole society, even to their animals. Then the fifth command moves from society as a whole to the family, the basic unit of their society. Exodus 20 and verse 12 is the fifth commandment, says this: honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which Yahweh your God gives you. This command is especially important for many reasons, from its placement in the list, just thinking about what I just mentioned as far as structure, its placement on the list, to the promise attached to it, right? That it may be well with you in the land, right? That was a promise given in Deuteronomy to all the people for faithfulness to all the commands, but it's especially attached to honoring your father and mother. And there's a lot that would be worth saying about that. This in turn highlights the importance of family and conduct in family before God. And understand, this command is not addressed exclusively or even primarily to little children, but to all children and grandchildren. And there are those of us who are children and grandchildren of all sorts of ages. First thing I want us to see about honor. Honor is an attitude. The word literally means to give weight to regard as of high value and worth, to glorify. And yes, it's the same word that's used when we honor God. Honor is a matter of our hearts and the posture of our hearts. To honor our parents is to respect them, to revere them, to highly value them. But honor is not just an attitude. Honor is also an action. To honor our parents is to care for them as they age and provide for their needs, physical care, material support, emotional and relational support. Jesus condemned the Pharisees because of their hypocrisy, specifically in their failure to care for their parents. Listen to Matthew 15. He answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'He who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to father and mother, whatever I have has been given to God,' he's not able to honor his father and mother. And you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. In vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines the precepts of men.'" The Pharisees were so warped in their righteousness. They dedicated their resources to God, right? Aren't I spiritual? I've dedicated my resources to God, but they refused to care for their aging parents. What sounded like super spirituality on the surface was really a guise for greed and frankly, just a heart of rebellion against God. And notice in this, honor your father and mother was not just an attitude, as important as that is and as central as that is, but it's also an action. Honor your father and mother means, again, caring for and providing for father and mother. We see the same thing in 1 Timothy 5. Listen to 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 and 4. "Honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and make some return for their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God." In this context, what Paul's doing in this entire section is giving instructions for the church how to care for the widows that are among them in the church. But here he emphasizes that the responsibility for care first falls to the family of the widows, her children and her grandchildren. The church has a responsibility to care for our widows, but only if our widows have no children and grandchildren to care for them. And again, this reinstates and reemphasizes the importance of family in Christ. And notice again, honor is not just an attitude, but it's an action. Honor your father and mother, again, means providing for and caring for father and mother, for parents and grandparents. One other thing. This is a basic expectation. Just a little bit later in the same context, listen to what he says in verse 8. "If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Do you hear how strong that indictment for someone who fails to do this is? Honor your father and mother is not the pinnacle of spiritual maturity. It's a basic expectation of the King. To do anything less than that is to deny the faith and be worse than the people of the world that don't know God. Or you could say this another way. The people of the world, those who don't know God, those who've not given their allegiance to Christ, those who've not been given His Spirit, at least honor their parents and grandparents. How much more should we, who have given our allegiance to Christ, who have been given His Spirit? And I want to say there are some among us who've done this and continue to do this beautifully. Right? You're doing it. Honoring your father and mother isn't easy. There are things that you've had to give up. It can be thankless. It can be praiseless. You may feel like you're doing a lot and have very little to show for it. Or you might feel like there are bigger, more important things that you haven't been able to be doing. But I want you to understand, when you honor your parents and grandparents, you honor Christ. Your actions declare Jesus is King. You're doing exactly what our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do. And our King will say to you, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." Allegiance to King Jesus means honor your parents and grandparents. Let's think about our marriages. For husbands and wives, the point is simple. Look to our King. Open up to Ephesians 5, if you would. Husbands and wives, look to your King. In Ephesians 5, Paul writes, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, he himself the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." And there's a lot that we could unpack here, but I want to just today simply say, wives, look to the King on his throne. Husbands, look to our King on his cross. Okay? That's Paul's exhortation to you. Our marriages are meant to tell the story of Christ and his church. And we each have a different part of the story to tell. Wives, when you're called to submit and respect your husband, you tell the story of Christ's present reign and his church's submission to him. Husbands, when you are called to love and care for your wife, you're called to tell the story of Christ giving of himself generously for his wife, for his cross, for his church. Or to say this another way, wives, look to Christ on the throne as a model and as a guide in submission and respect. Husbands, look to Christ on the cross as a model for your leadership. You're to lead through the generous, self-giving love that you know in Christ, that you know in Christ, that you've personally experienced in Christ. From the very beginning, again, think back to what we saw in Genesis. Humans have struggled, humanity has struggled to do power God's way and to exercise and wield power God's way. Humanity sought to seize power apart from God, and that just unleashed this floodgate of all sorts of violence and control and injustice in the world, and that's characterized human history because humanity is seeking to do this not God's way. But leadership in the Lord, God's way of doing power, is not domineering or controlling. God does it differently. And this is most profoundly demonstrated in the cross. When you look at Jesus, how he defeated his enemies and how he came to power, not through force, not through domineering, not through violence, but by laying down his life through others, through suffering and death, through humility and love. From one point of view, you could say the whole Bible story is a story of how to rule rightly. Right? And Jesus is the only one that's ever done it right. But then he calls us to follow him and do the same thing. And so this passage asks us, will you rule God's way or will you rule the world's way? I want to speak to husbands for just a moment. Too often, husbands will criticize their wives for not submitting. Look, Ephesians 5, 22 through 24 says, I'm the head and that wives are supposed to submit. Verses 22 through 24 are addressed to wives. Verses 25 and following are addressed to husbands. Certainly, wives need to be faithful to the king. And husbands lovingly want to help their wives be faithful to the king. But often when that happens, what I just described, the question is, are you loving your wife? Are you giving yourself for her? Christ didn't wait for the church to submit to him before he gave himself for her. If you want to lead your family, love. Give of yourself. Don't be selfish. Don't live for your hobbies. Don't live for your work. Don't live for fill in the blank with whatever else we devote our hearts to. Love and give yourself. Give yourself for your wives and for her needs and her concerns. That's how you lead in the Lord. That's what power looks like. That may mean really big things. Giving up all sorts of stuff because you're caring for your wife who has a chronic illness. It may mean little things. Getting up out of bed after a hard day to help with something else. You've just laid down and, I need this. Again, it's that giving. But the point is, leadership in the Lord, headship in the Lord, looks like Jesus on the cross. That's what he tells us to direct our attention to. So wives, look to our king on his throne. Husbands, look to our king on his cross. And when you do this, you honor Christ. And your life declares Jesus is king. Allegiance to Christ means husbands and wives, look to the king and tell the story of our king and his church. And finally, I want to turn to parents. So we've seen children and grandchildren are to honor their father and their father and mother, parents and grandparents. Husbands and wives are to look to the king. Parents, the exhortation is this: diligently teach your children to love the Lord. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6, the passage that Ben read for us. Deuteronomy 6. And I'll just read verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God, Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Parents, diligently teach your children to love the Lord. It says, diligently teach these words. We want all kinds of things for our children. And there's all kinds of good things that we can give them. But what good are all the sports and all the music lessons and all the clubs and all the education, all the friends, if they don't learn to love the Lord? Diligently teach your children to love the Lord. And parents, don't be distracted. There are all kinds of things we can devote ourselves to, all sorts of good things that we can devote ourselves to. But what good are all the house projects, all the community involvement, all the success at work, even all the involvement that we would do in the local church, teaching or serving or whatever, if I don't teach my children to love the Lord? Diligently teach your children to love the Lord. And I'm not saying don't do these other things. What I am saying is, if you do, make sure no matter what you do, that you teach your children to love the Lord and you do that diligently. That's your mission. That's your stewardship. That should be at the center of your home, and everything else flows from that in your home. And if you don't know how to do this, ask. The lesson today doesn't get it, you know, we don't have time to explore every how-to on some of these things, but the what and the why more than anything. But if you don't know how to do this, ask. Ask an older, wiser brethren, those who are now grandparents among us. Ask them how to do these things. Ask those people who are right there doing it with you, or maybe just a little bit farther down the road who are doing it well. You look at them and you say, like, seems like they have some things figured out. Maybe we can help each other. But the thing is, don't let pride rule your parenting. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're on the same team. We're not in competition with one another. I know parenting can be this sensitive thing, and we get our feelings hurt. We feel judged or whatever. No. We're in this together. We're helping each other. And so let's help one another. And so again, if you're struggling, or maybe, you know, you don't even know where to begin. Maybe you didn't have parents that showed you what this looks like. You've never seen it lived out. Let's band together and just ask for help. And so again, the exhortation though is, parents, diligently teach your children to love the Lord. And when you do this, you honor Christ. And your actions declare that Jesus is the King. Allegiance to King Jesus means parents diligently teaching children to love the Lord. And so without a PowerPoint, I'll just review these points again just so that they're clear in our mind. Honor your parents and grandparents. Husbands and wives, look to our King. Wives, look to our King on His throne. Husbands, look to our King on His cross. And parents, diligently teach your children to love the Lord. Jesus is King. We give Him our allegiance. Jesus gave Himself for us, and we are blessed to be able to give ourselves to Him. We're considered worthy of such an honor. He reigns over us and extends His reign of love and grace and peace through us. That's His desire. And so we are to live Christ in our family, husbands and wives, parents and grandparents, children and grandchildren. Let's pray together. Father, may You be honored and praised and revered as You should be. Thank You for Your great grace and love that You've given us in Jesus. Thank You for how You teach us and how You set before us true life and thriving in relationships, in the various responsibilities that You've given us to do. There's so much joy and peace in that. May we do it without selfishness, but may we do it walking by Your Spirit. May our homes be full of the fruit of Your Spirit. As children and grandchildren honor their parents and grandparents, as husbands and wives love and respect one another, and follow Jesus and tell the story of Jesus and His church, as parents are diligent to teach their children of You and tell of Your mighty deeds and all Your goodness and grace and power, help us to have such homes. Homes that would say that Jesus is King. And find all that joy and peace and glory in You. Help us as a church to encourage one another and support one another, to be there to encourage and to give that help and that guidance, or just a listening ear when we need it, or acts of service, or the various things. May we truly love one another and be one, so that You would be glorified. May You write Your words on our hearts. May we follow Jesus, and may we walk by Your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you're with us this morning and need our prayers for anything, encouragement or to confess sin, we'd love to pray with you. And if you want to begin your journey with Christ and be buried with Christ in baptism and raised to live that new life in Him, and live out a life of allegiance to Christ, we want to help you with that as well. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing.